The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to Sorry If I Speak When I Speak. We have an interesting
breaking
show today. Breaking story, yes, yeah. From Elise Jesse, who I'm sure all of you know, is a sports reporter and anchor for WLWT News 5 in Cincinnati, and she just dropped a bombshell on us, yeah. And that is in September 2017, the Bengals players wanted to kneel for the anthem, and there was an emergency meeting with Mike Brown, and she's going to tell us the details, but it's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we want to bring
this is what you call a local story that's about to go national. And I think that having met with and spoken with Elise before the show, this is going to be just an amazing, amazing story, but also reporter. Yeah. I mean, just breaking such big news. I'm so excited to have her on the show.
Yeah. Oh, me too. I can't imagine the ratings. Here we go. Elise.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's so great. Yeah.
And thank you for doing your job so well. I mean, nowadays, really, really, honestly, now a lot of reporters are feeling bullied. A lot of reporters are not speaking the truth enough. But you're out there getting the hard stories.
Yeah.
I think a lot of reporters are under a lot of pressure, and there's just a different view of the media these days, and we're all just kind of fighting through it and trying to tell the best stories we possibly can at this point.
Yeah, well, and great job with that story.
And maybe why don't you give us a gist of the story before we discuss?
Yeah, so if you have not read the story, essentially, in 2017, it was week 3 of the NFL season, and President Donald Trump had said that the players who kneel should lose their jobs, and also called them a few names, and that did not sit well with the players at the time. And so that was on Friday. The Bengals fly to Green Bay on Saturday, and one of the players in particular, George Iloka, who was in the piece, had mentioned that it was just weighing really heavily on his heart and his mind, and he felt that it would be extremely important for him to kneel and to also protest what Colin Kaepernick was protesting at the time and still is, which was police brutality, especially against the Black community. And so he wanted to kneel, and he voiced his convictions to a few teammates, and that turned into an informal player-run meeting, about 30 guys. And they all, you know, were having discussions with each other about their different viewpoints, why some wanted to kneel, why others didn't want to kneel or didn't want their teammates to kneel. And that led to an emergency team meeting, from what they say. And they kind of all said pretty much the same thing, that Mike Brown came in and emotionally let them know that he didn't want them to kneel. Mm-hmm. And they went from there. I mean, players were going to do something no matter what. And they ended up deciding that they were going to link arms in solidarity. And that's what they did. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, when some of the players I've spoken to think about that day and think about where the world is now, I mean, I think a lot of them regret that decision. Preston Brown in particular said that was the biggest regret of his NFL career.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huge. I have two follow-ups.
Well, just real quick. Yeah, please. Yeah. I just want to... So, Elise, you mentioned some of the players. And who are these players? Because I know you mentioned this multiple times that they had a condition called anonymity. And I'm assuming that's some sort of
anonymity.
They don't want to be
divulged their identities. That's anonymity.
Yeah, you keep their identity a secret.
Oh, okay. Because I just wanted to know who they. Okay.
No, it's not a medical condition. They don't want to be known.
They don't have a condition.
No, and Elise cannot tell you who they are because
they can.
No, that's a privilege that they have. When they want to be an anonymous source, they can't just out them. Otherwise, they don't trust reporters in the future. You see.
Right. Okay. But okay. So then, and then you mentioned, you quoted Iloka as saying it's about 50% African American, 50% of my Caucasian brothers. Yeah. And it was like the African Americans were like, we need to kneel. And the white player is telling us, you guys don't need to do that. Is that just Iloka? Or, I mean, do we know that it was basically divided half and half along those lines?
That was actually my question.
Different players took it differently. Not everyone agreed on that standpoint. But I mean, the numbers exactly we're not totally sure on. But there was some division within that room on whether or not it would be appropriate to kneel that Sunday.
Follow up, Elise, on that one. I mean, I noticed in your article there was some talk of a perhaps racial divide, not a perfect and clean racial divide. I'm sure there were white players who were supportive of kneeling and some who were not. There was also a regional divide in that Iloka was, if I'm not mistaken, from Buffalo, and that was part of it. Could you expand on that? Explain maybe that part of the article?
Oh, so Preston Brown had played in Buffalo previously.
Right.
And a lot of his teammates were kneeling that Sunday, and he did not. And the following year, he actually grew up in Cincinnati.
Oh.
So he wanted to come back and play for the Cincinnati Bengals. And the next year, he did get that opportunity. But he also told me that he doesn't think that he would have had that opportunity to come and play for Cincinnati if he would have taken a knee that day. And that's his perspective.
And might I just comment, Dadio, how big of a piece of news this is?
Okay.
Because what you're really having is you're having players censor themselves in fear of losing their jobs for something that the president of the United States said. And I don't know if you recognize how big and unusual that is.
Well, that is true. That is true. But I just real quick, Elise, I want to ask you about Eric Reed. Do you know about that story? Because that was the same offseason. So Iloka, just for our viewers to remind them, he got cut after this incident, the next offseason. And it was said, you know, it was because they wanted more playmaking at the safety position. They drafted Jesse Bates, then they cut Iloka. We all know that. But they also met with Eric Reed that offseason. And they asked him, supposedly, he filed a grievance saying that they asked him about the kneeling. And he said he would kneel and they didn't sign him. What can you tell us about that?
I've read about it, obviously, and that was in the New York Times, I believe. But I have not done digging on that necessarily.
Yeah.
This story alone took nearly a month of work, just trying to get the appropriate stories and get the right accounts and reach out to as many people as possible. And I would say that almost every player that I spoke to felt that if they would have taken a knee, that they would have had their money messed with. And I think that's why a lot of them remain to choose to be anonymous. They would rather not even put their livelihood on the line.
So I just want to make clear, being anonymous is a choice and not a medical condition.
No, you're not born anonymous.
So you also report, just to be clear, that Mike Brown said, you know, the team spokesman said that he met with all the players while they were in Green Bay and they had a positive and open discussion. And he did not direct them what to do. And then he gave them $250,000 to social justice causes.
Yes, yeah. That was a couple weeks ago, I think.
That's what we call in the industry a pittance. I mean, okay. I'm sure that the meeting went a lot like our meetings in this studio, and we talk about snack possibilities, where you come in and seem very open, but by the end, every tub is just full of Cheetos. So I think that there is a way to talk, and I think there is a way to get communication going. I thought the interesting thing about Mike Brown's position, too, was that it seemed to be, in some ways, shaped by how he saw Cincinnati reacting to kneeling and the fan base. Yeah.
Yeah. And for that reason, I want to bring in a loyal Bengals fan very, very soon. We're going to bring in a Bengals fan to represent the fan base. But I just want to ask one thing. Is there any way, because you said this reflects the culture.
Could I just get Elise's response to that? To what extent did you get the sense that it was about the climate in Cincinnati, the kneeling issue?
Yeah, a few players had mentioned that he was worried about how the fans would react if they knelt. Cincinnati is pretty conservative.
Yeah.
And they all made sure to reference that that's what Mike Brown was worried about. And it's understandable. I think this is just my opinion, but when you look at what went down in 2017, not very many people understood why Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee. Yeah. And now here in 2020, so many people have been educated on the reasons behind his kneeling, how the Black community is affected negatively, especially when it comes to police brutality. And they're recognizing that Colin Kaepernick was looking for change and looking to bring more attention to this issue.
He was about
being more accepted now that people understand the reasons behind the kneeling.
Yeah, yeah, Colin Kaepernick was 3 years ahead of his time.
Well, but I mean, there was such a, you know, big incident that really kind of, I think, forced people to change their minds, you know, just the showing that we had from people in masses. But you know, Elise, I just want to ask,
like the George Floyd incident, you know, that happens every day, right?
No, no, I know. But I'm saying people kind of rally together for the first time. Yeah. I want to ask you something. Mm-hmm. Is it possible Mike Brown was trying to protect his players and his investment, you know, because you look at what he said. He basically cried. He kneeled down. He begged them. He pleaded with them. He was like, please, they will crush you. And I don't know if he means like just violent attacks or if he means like on the football field. You know, he said they will crush us. The fans will crush us. And I don't know if that's, what does that mean? And was he? And I know that he was worried about attendance. And you look at the Bengals numbers, and you know, I mean, they're outstanding considering the product on the field. They were 30th or 31st, I think, the last 3 years in attendance. So he had to make sure the fans keep pouring in, right? I mean, yeah.
See, I don't, obviously, it's because I was not at the meeting, I can only go by what the players say. And I would love to speak to Mike Brown, but I have not had the opportunity just yet. So that's just from a player account. I can't really speculate on what exactly he meant by that just because I wasn't there.
Well, Elise, I have good news for you in that Daddio seems to have a working relationship with Mike Brown. He wrote him a letter and received a response.
Yeah, I write him letters. I write him letters. I'm actually going to write one pretty soon. I mean, we kind of have a similar way of thinking. I want to talk about the uniform change because I did some investigation. And today, you know, because they have the white stripe down the line of the side. Yeah. And I want to talk about removing that because I did some investigation and it seems that white fabric is not cheaper than black fabric anymore. They're about the same price. So I think he can go back to just putting normal fabric.
You see at least they think alike.
Yeah.
He and Mike Brown.
Yeah.
Bottom dollar.
And also maybe adding the Bengal tiger back because I can get him a good deal. I have someone in China. I can get him a good deal to put the tiger logo back.
He's talking about a sweatshop, at least. He has no problems with that, just so you know.
You and I
have issues.
Than the other
he has no issue.
Other opportunities that are out there for them.
So what about this fan you keep talking about?
Yeah, I want to bring in Mark Smith. Here we go. Mark Smith, hello.
Greetings.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Mark. You are a longtime viewer of the show and a longtime Bengals fan. I know
Correct.
That you are a season ticket holder. You were from Cincinnati.
Used to be.
Yeah. Is there
you paid a lot of money. Anymore? You spent a lot of money on the team. So you obviously like what the team does on and off the field. So, yeah. So tell us what this means to you, this whole incident, as a fan.
I'd have to say that I'm surprised and not surprised at the same time. Mike Brown is a businessman at the end of the day, and this is his, you know, this is his baby. Most seems like a lot of owners have interests other places, and this, you know, the teams are more of their pet project, but this is Mike Brown's family business. So I understand, you know, I'm on Twitter, and I'm in some Bengal chats on Facebook and whatnot, and it was an extremely divisive situation. It still is, honestly. It's still talked about almost every single day, Kaepernick and the kneeling situation. So I was shocked with some of the words that was used in the article, like, you know, he cried and he pleaded, and I understand where he's going with that. There's never a right or wrong, I think, in these situations necessarily when you mix politics and business. You know, I have a job. Of course, I'd like to stand up for it, but if my employer tells me something, that's going to give me pause. So you kind of have to just work your way through it.
That's a great reaction. Yeah, it's very balanced, and it's good to hear that. I see where you're coming from. I can understand why Cincinnati might not have wanted to be on the forefront of this, but what I don't understand, to be quite honest with everybody out there, is why does it bother everybody so much if someone kneels during the anthem when Kaepernick got that suggestion from a veteran who told him, please kneel during the anthem instead of sitting it out? I don't know if you know that. I mean, I know you know that at least. I'm saying, I don't know if the average person knows that Kaepernick got this idea of kneeling from a veteran who said that that's the most respective course of action.
Yeah. More respectful than sitting. That's an issue.
Yeah.
Happening.
Exactly. And it's a respectful thing, but it's saying, look, you want to talk about liberty? You want to talk about freedom? Let's have it be for everybody. And if you're living in a society where there's systemic racism, and that's the problem, it's not any particular police officer. There are great people on any police force. Mm-hmm. You got to cure that problem before you have freedom. So we can't stand here and pretend that we have freedom for everybody and rights for everybody and perfection for everybody. It seems like so. Why does it seem so clear to me, but not clear to everybody else? That's my question, I guess.
Just personal feelings get in the way sometimes. The way I feel about it is I have always felt that I would stand because others have the right to kneel. And then the second they don't have the right to kneel, then I would no longer stand. I think one thing we're losing in this country is the ability to disagree, but also remain friends. It's always, you know, if you don't agree with me, you're my enemy. And I completely disagree with that. I understand why some would say that's very disrespectful to the flag. I understand it. I don't agree with it. You know, I have older family members that are gone that fought in Korea and other wars, and they weren't afforded such luxuries that they were fighting for other humans back in their own home country. So I think when you say it's disrespectful to the soldiers, that would be the only the soldiers that you would think that would be disrespectful to. I know some of my family members would be proud that we were standing up for what we believe in. And that's kind of to me, I believe America to be. I don't have to agree with you, but I agree with your ability to speak how you feel. And I think we're sort of losing that in this conversation a little bit.
No,
and
I think
people want to paint things their own way.
Let's be clear. I mean, you know, Mike Brown, I don't know if it was so much about, you know, what is right or what is respectful, right? I mean, he's worried about his business. You know, I mean, that's why he cried. Have you ever lost that much money before? I have. It does make you beg and cry. And you do really, really, you know, you will sink to new levels if you're about to lose that much money.
But what,
I don't know if he was crying. I know he was emotional.
Yeah.
He told me. They didn't say crying.
Yeah. No, he didn't say crying in the article. I just kind of read that into it. Yeah.
I wonder what will happen in 2020, because now people are, you know, having more conversations with each other about what someone goes through. And when you think about, you know, I listen to so many players about, you know, what goes on in their lives, especially when people don't know who they are, what they do for a living. You know, they go into a store and instantly they feel like they have eyes on them, and they've mentioned how they don't pick up a product in a store unless they plan on buying it. Always get a bag, always get a receipt to prove that you didn't steal something.
Yeah.
Not to wear a hoodie, not to wear a wife beater when you're driving, and many things that they have to think about that I will never personally understand, but I can listen to what they go through and empathize with them and realize that, yeah, we do need change.
Yes. And it's your empathy that has made you, I think, successful as a reporter. I will say that's the issue, is that everybody imagines that they have the same experience when they leave the house and living in this country. And so it's hard for them to imagine, really, until you walk in someone else's shoes, it's hard to imagine what other people see.
Right.
And sometimes it's small things. Sometimes it's going to a restaurant and being seated in a certain place, or going to a place where you want to shop and not being helped because people assume, you know, I read an article just today there was this restaurant that had a dress code. And this is such a small thing, but it's such a big thing because it's happening everywhere. They had a dress code, and it was a mother and her son. They were African-American, and they said the son didn't meet the dress code. And then the mother turned around, and there was a young boy who was white wearing the same thing and not being kicked out. And so this stuff, it's now's the time to address it. And the key, I think, Elise, I agree, empathy, love, Mark.
Dialogue, as you say.
And that's what we have on the show. I cannot stand this guy, Daddio. I mean, I don't know if you know. We disagree about everything, and yet at the end of the day, we come on the show and we make it public.
We put our underwear out
for people to smell publicly.
It's because of the money. And that is why I think Mike Brown's attitude will change, because there's not really much money to lose now. His own quarterback, you know, is very supportive of this kind of a stuff.
That's the key.
And that guy's going to bring in a lot of fans. And also, I mean, it's just the nature of the NFL now. You know, even Goodell, I mean, all these guys have come out and said, you know, hey, there's nothing they can do because there's going to be so many players that are kneeling next
year. Baker's doing it. Baker already said he's going to kneel. You're going to have – that's the thing. When everybody does the same time, it's beautiful and you can't stop it.
Yeah.
It's a mass movement. Yeah.
Okay. Well, unless you have final comments.
Last word to both Mark and Elise. Let them finish.
Please. Go ahead.
Mark, you can go first.
I'm sorry, Lisa, I can't hear you.
Mark, do you have any final words?
Final words.
Well, first, I just want to say thank you, Elise. I read your articles and stuff all the time, so it's an honor to be on with you guys. You guys, thank you for having me on. I've watched the show all the time. It's hilarious. Final thoughts is, I think we should just all try to take a moment and see things from other people's vantage points. It's extremely easy to judge someone by your best expectations, but not, you know, your own actions. So I think that we should all take a moment and reflect on how things affect us and think on how things can reflect other humans. And let's not judge everybody by our best intentions, but our own actions.
I love that.
Yeah.
Let's make the Bengals a team of love. I love it.
Make the Bengals great again. I love it. Yeah.
That's not what he said. That is not what he said. He did not say that.
We're going to make so much money this year. Yeah, go ahead, Elise, please.
Well, yeah, I mean, my final thoughts would be to call for people to listen to someone who doesn't look like you and listen to what they go through and have empathy for them and just open your heart a little bit, open your mind, and just try to be a part of the change that is happening in this world.
Absolutely. I mean, speaking of change, I mean, this show is really taking off. So We have a lot of patrons now. We have 5 patrons, and we also, you can become you can follow the show. You can join the channel. If money is tight and you can't join the Patreon, you can get a 1 cent discount per tier by becoming a member. So instead of paying $1 to become in the Kevin Huber tier, you can pay 99 cents and so forth. please support the show. It's very important. We have a lot of important issues to talk about.
I ask for all of you watching, can you in the YouTube comments tell us how you feel about this topic? And also, please encourage Elise and Mark to come back on the show. We'd love to have them back as guests. So put some nice, beautiful things about how great they were on our show, so they come back later in the year when football actually starts and there's more stuff to report on. We'd love to have you guys back.
Absolutely.
Put that in the comments.
Yeah. So thank you so much, and we will see you next time. So long, SVT.
Bye.